I want to share a verse with us tonight from Hebrews 11:6. You all know the faith chapter, right? Amen? The faith. What a tremendous chapter. What an important chapter in the middle of an... Well, it's not the middle exactly, but in an epistle written to Christians that were going through a tremendous time of trial, persecution, neglect, pushed aside. The epistle, the writer of the epistle puts this chapter in there that they have to guard their faith, they have to keep their faith. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew the enemy was trying to weaken your faith? Trying to get to that. Well, we read here how important faith is. And that in the sixth verse of Hebrews 11 tells us that. But without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Folks, without faith, we're prisoners to our fate. And that's not good. Without faith, you're a slave to your situation. Without faith, you're a slave to your circumstance. And that's not a good place to be. I like to tell the story of when I was a speaker a few times at a camp called Camp Haycock. It was a son and father day. They had about 80 of us there. And then another time it was the daughter and fathers. And it was something. You run around with your kid all day long, and then they sit everybody down and you speak to them. A real challenge. It's almost like camp. And one time, before we had a meeting, they said, "You know, we have horses at the camp. You got to, Pastor Keith, you got to ride the horse." Now I'm afraid of horses. And they were like, "No, you got to ride the horse. Get on the horse. It's great. It's an experience." And so I got on a horse, and that horse took me for a ride. Have you ever had that happen? You know, they know right where they want to go. And it was out of the corral and then back to the stable. And he was taking me for a tour. And they were all yelling, "Where are you going, Pastor Keith?" And all of the kids, and I think my poor son was like, "That's my father." There he goes. And here's, of all things, I'm the big speaker. I'm the big speaker for the weekend, you know. You know that one, right, Tom? You're the minister? Brother Gordon used to tell that story, but you guys don't need to know it. Well, they're all going, "There he goes. Where's he going?" And wouldn't you know it, that the caretaker, the guy who was in charge of the corral, sent his little daughter after me. She comes running over, running, tiny little thing with cowboy boots, running over, got a hold of those reins, and brought me home. And I was so blessed by it. Not really. That little girl knew something I didn't about horses. And that meant everything, right? Have you ever, you know, sometimes we don't know how to use our faith. And we let circumstances and situations take us places that they shouldn't go, right? They lead us astray. They lead us down a path that we never intended to go. And I thought about what this verse says. Let's just break it apart a little bit tonight. The very first thing it tells us is faith pleases God. That's an important thing to know. Faith pleases God. I looked at that and I said, how is it that faith pleases God? But when you go back to Genesis 3, when the enemy came to that garden and tempted Adam and Eve as she stood before that tree, the enemy said, he asked Eve a question, "Didn't God say that you couldn't eat of these trees?" And she said, God said we could eat of the trees, but we're not supposed to eat of the tree of life. And that there's just that one. And then he said, well, she says, well, because we can't eat it, we can't touch that tree, lest we die. And what did Satan say? He said, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. That was what the enemy said. And, you know, she believed it. Jesus Christ says, whosoever believes in me would have life. For God so loved the world, it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes in me will not perish, but have eternal life. So who do we believe? That's how we please God. Lord, I believe that. I believe that trusting in you is going to bring me life. The second thing he says is faith believes that God is. We need to believe that God is a greater reality than the circumstance and the situation we're in. Amen. And that's tough. That's hard at times. Because our problems, our trials, our struggles are very real. But God is very real. Amen. And God is greater. And we're called first to please him. But then we're called to say, you know what, God, you're greater than this circumstance. You're greater than this situation. Sometimes in our prayer meetings, it's a great place to bring your burden. And a lot of times in a prayer meeting, you can feel the heaviness of the burden, of the burdens that are on hearts. That's why it's so important that you see Jesus first before we bring these needs before the Lord, that he is greater. He's mightier. That's why worship is so good. It exalts Christ. And then you can bring the needs and the burdens. Well, the third thing is this. Faith understands God enough to expect results. Faith understands God enough that you expect results. And that's so important. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that? You know, the prayer meetings would be packed if everybody truly believed that. That he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Sometimes I say to God, but it's hard. It's hard to have faith. Have you ever said that? Oh, God, I'm trying to have faith. Very often you say, I don't have enough faith. Well, how much faith do you need? What is enough faith? Exactly. It's the size of a mustard seed. I think the Lord was telling his disciples, don't start measuring your faith. Believe. Choose to believe. The enemy loves to get you to a place where you just start measuring your faith, and you measure your experience, and you know what happens? You know what grows? Not the mustard seed, the problem. Just believe. Lord, I believe that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And yes, it's hard. I want to remind you of what Timothy was told by the Apostle Paul, and I think we all know this verse. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. How many of you like a good fight? We have some fighters here? I don't. Some of you are... I see some people saying yes, and I'm suddenly intimidated. But sometimes there are people that are just fighters. You know better than argue with them. You know better than to challenge them. I don't like a good fight. But remember what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy, it's a fight, but it's a good fight. It's a fight that's worth it, right? And God is honest enough to say to you that if you're going to use faith, it's going to be a fight because we have an enemy, don't we? So fight, a struggle to complete for a prize, figuratively, to contend with an adversary, to endeavor to accomplish something. There are challenges and fights, but everything worthwhile is going to be a fight. And it's good to have that mentality. This is worth it. This is a good fight. This is a good battle. This is something worth going after, and no matter how big the challenge. He says, and that word good, when you look it up, it's beautiful. But chiefly that the word here is valuable or virtuous. But I like the last thing he said. Lay hold of eternal life. Fight that good fight of faith. And lay hold, he told Timothy, of eternal life. Every time we're in a spiritual battle where we need to fight the good fight of faith, we are talking about eternity. You're using not just the temporal world down here, but you're involving eternity. That's what he says. Lay hold of eternity. You know, have you ever seen someone seize something, somebody go after something with all their might? It's inspiring to watch that. I love it when you see young people go after the Lord that way. I'm going to tell a story on my wife tonight. We had tickets to MacArthur Theater in Princeton to see the Christmas Carol, I believe it was. We were excited about seeing this program. We heard it was beautiful, and it truly was. But it was crowded, and all we could get were standing alone seats. Well, what do you call that?
Standing.
Thank you. It's a late night. And, you know, we were like, okay, that's the best we can get. We were happy to get them. But there were this group of nuns, maybe five or six of them. And they looked like they were ready for a fight. No, they weren't. But, you know, my wife got in her head that they had standing room only tickets as well. So I never saw my wife act this way. When they finally opened the doors to the theater, I think she knocked a couple nuns down. And, you know, they had the best seats in the house. They didn't have standing room only. Well, the apostle talks about going after something, seizing it, laying hold of eternal life. Every meeting we're in, we have an opportunity by faith to lay hold of eternal life and the things that God wants to send down from heaven. And thank God for that. We're called to that. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called. We need to understand how precious this faith is. I like what it says in what Jesus said to Peter. This is so such an example to us. Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." Now that's something. How would you like the Lord to speak to you in one meeting and say, "I want to speak to you. Satan wants to sift you like wheat." But Jesus goes on and he says, "But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Isn't that glorious?
Yes.
No. You know what I would have said? Thank you for that prayer, but how about praying that I don't get sifted like wheat? Not to suggest too much, Lord, but that sounds like a good prayer. Let's start there. But Jesus didn't pray that, right? That's what we want Jesus to pray for us when a trial does come. You know, that's what we want. I don't want to go through it. It's going to be hard. I'm going to have to engage my faith. It's going to be a fight. Even Keith, you could talk about a good fight all you want. A fight's a fight. And it's not good, but it is. And you're going to have to go through it. God is going to call you to go through it. And you're going to have to engage and apply your faith. And what does it say? Jesus said to him, that your faith should not fail. Do you see how much faith pleases God and how important faith is to God? What was important to Jesus is that your faith should not fail. Well, what is that faith? I'm going to boil it down for us. What is that faith? One day, they came to Jesus and they said, "How can we work the works of God?" This is from John 6. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Just listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said this: "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." You know, when I come into a trial now, when I come into a circumstance that I know it's going to be a fight of faith, and I feel the pressure of the enemy, but I also feel the strength of the Lord, I don't start measuring my faith. I said, "This is my faith. I believe in Jesus." That's simple. And then that's simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the enemy doesn't want it to be simple. The enemy wants you to think that the struggle is beyond the capability of Christ, and that's not true. He's able. I intentionally kept this compacted tonight, but because I want to get to this wonderful song. Because this song is so powerful, because the story behind it, and I'm not going to relate it to you tonight, comes from a man that had to fight the good fight of faith. He lost his family and on a sunken ship, and he still could fight that good fight of faith. It's number 316, is it? Right, 316.